Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is here.
Oh, yeah.
And running the boards is Joey Deez.
Hello.
On today's show, we're going to get a little sci-fi with some Apple TV Plus, Apple Plus TV, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about.
They got some new programming that I know BJ's excited about. Woo! We're going to be talking about The Walking Dead. Talking with Gareth von Kallenbach, and of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just give us a shout on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, the Odyssey app. Just BJ Geek Nation. You'll find us.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Lots of ways. Yes, trust Vicky.
There's not a lot of BJ Shea's Geek Nations out there. Just one.
Shocking. Really? Wow. That's probably the reason why BJ Shea's name is on the front of there. So you don't have to worry about looking for anything else. You just can look up BJ Shea's name.
That's
safe,
it.
Safe search on.
Normally you wouldn't trust Vicky. But here you can.
Now, we need to talk a little trailer talk. It is movies, and Vicky will be getting to the movie talk fairly soon. But there's one coming out on the Apple Plus TV. Is that what it's called? Is it really? Is that like, I mean, like...
It's Apple Plus. Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus. I always get those...
All the pluses and minuses.
There's too many pluses in their things. I don't
asterisks.
Get... Yeah. So,
well, Disney started all this.
They did.
Yeah.
Nobody's following the protocol on all of this. but it was really interesting because it's going to be a... it's going to be a movie that's starring a massive name with Tom Hanks. And it's sci-fi, BJ.
What? Wait a second. I did see Tom Hanks. He's all over IMDb, and he's next to a robot-y looking thing?
Yeah, it looks really cool. It's called Finch. And the plot is an ailing inventor, the last man on Earth, builds an android to keep him and his dog company and goes on a journey across the country. Now, when they say the last man on Earth, it's kind of interesting because even the trailer itself says you got to look out for other humans, and there's a note that there will actually be other humans, but as it starts off, it looks like he thinks he's the last man. He's going on, it looks like a cross-country journey because solar flares wipe out all of humanity.
Okay then. That's not good.
Yeah, which causes massive dust storms, does all sorts of crazy things, wipes out everything, and he's trying to get to the mountains to get safe, and he builds a robot, and it's going to be like, I guess, a buddy comedy road trip sort of thing going along the lines with that. I'm very interested in it, and I think I might have to end up starting thinking about getting that Apple TV Plus there.
So this is going to, this is exciting because I have it. And it's going to be just for made for that. All right, I'll be watching. When's it dropping?
November 5th.
Woo!
So put it in your schedules. I know that you love robots. I know that everyone loves the apocalypse at this point in time. Most of the shows right now are about the apocalypse, and which we'll be getting into on future episodes as well.
And is Apple TV Plus something that you can like download, or is it like a Roku where you need like a device for it?
Okay, Apple TV. Well, if you have an Apple TV itself, you can get it there.
Oh, okay.
You can stream it on Apple products, PlayStation, Xbox, Roku. It's kind of similar to an app.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so
okay.
They're it's accessible on a couple different platforms, as well as you can just go online to their website.
That's awesome. Just
okay, good,
I was
yeah.
worried that I'm like, I already have a Roku. Do I need to buy like an Apple TV stick thingy? No, that's really cool.
Yeah, which is very ironic because Apple didn't always play well with everybody's
oh gosh, yeah,
apps.
I know that, yeah.
And now they put out an app going, hey, can you put our thing on ours?
Hi.
Yeah, I guess, Apple, sure, because you guys were so good at letting us have our apps on your stuff. But yeah, it's a... they're dead, but you know what? Ted Lasso has put them on the map. I mean, they've got other shows. It's the it's also the app that has C, which is the Jason Momoa Bautista show.
We talked about that previously, which got into another season, right?
Yeah, it's season two, and Bautista is on that. So you've got two big action stars in this, and we'll see if that boosts interest in the show. I haven't finished the first season of C yet, which the concept is just, you know, nobody can see.
Yeah. thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, that's but yet somehow they're able to have wars and able to do things and able to exist even though they can't see.
Adaptation is a good sci-fi thing along those lines. Again, post-apocalyptic sort of thing going on, many years going down. Another one that is, I feel, looks like a really, really big undertaking when it comes to TV series. And I know that you're excited about this, BJ, because you even, you've posted about it, talked to us about it, is they, Apple TV Plus, will be doing Foundation, which is based off of the works of Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, and Isaac Asimov, you probably, I don't know, unless you're a big sci-fi fan, you may not know the name. The Will Smith movie, I, Robot, is based on an Isaac Asimov set of novels, the robot novels, which the movie did not do them justice. But
don't hold it against them.
The robot novels are really cool, and it predicted a lot of what we're going through now, with especially people being xenophobic, and especially with folks wanting to be completely clean and not really interact with other humans. Mm-hmm. And you can see just how things are now because of the pandemic, and Asimov predicted a lot of this behavior a long time ago. Foundation is considered his great work by a lot of people. It's a huge book.
Wow.
And I read it over 30 years ago, and I couldn't put it down. It was just nuts. But it's massively complex. This could be the sci-fi Game of Thrones. It's that epic. And it's a very, very, very complex saga, baby.
And I don't... I'm going to say this, and I hope this doesn't come off as rude, but you're not much of an actual book reader. You're very interested in comic books, especially because of the art form and everything. So for a book to just grab you and for you not to put it down says something.
Yeah, and it could, you know, it could have been because I was on a vacation with people I didn't like. I don't know.
Might
have been possible.
It doesn't hurt.
That
it doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Joey D's, you were there. You were there, Joey D's, but you were very, very young. You might have been a toddler, and your father got yelled at by the hosts of the house we were staying at, because I'm like, yeah, you guys go over there. I'm going to go continue to read this guy's book, because it's really a good book. But it is a bunch of humans scattered on planets throughout the galaxy, all living under the rule of the Galactic Empire. So it is humanity, and humanity's done really well going out and spreading out on the stars, but they are a giant empire, and there is going to be drama. Let's just say that there's the actor that you guys will recognize, his name is Jared Harris. Thank you, Jared Harris. Thank you, Vic.
And you might
Jared Harris
from Chernobyl, Mad Men, The Crown, if you guys saw.
That guy.
In The Expanse as well, it looks like.
Yeah,
as well as Carnival Row, which, side note, it got a season two.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Anytime you see him, you'll be like, okay, I'm going to do it. And for trivia, in the Matt LeBlanc Lost in Space movie, he played the old Will Robinson.
and he was Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr., and apparently there's a third one coming out.
Ooh. Yeah, so Foundation is just like, whoa.
Yeah, this seems to be a very, very huge project when it gets down to it. I knew you were very excited for it. And you know what? You don't have to wait, because the first two episodes drop today.
Woo! Wow.
Yep, so September 24th. You can check them out right now. And it looks like the next one after that will be October 1st. So they're going to do another weekly sort of go down with that, which, I mean, it's interesting how each way they, each company is doing stuff really based on the properties. Some shows now are going week to week. Some are just dropping them all at once. And it's kind of frustrating sometimes when I want that next one, At least I hope with this one it'll correctly kind of build the hype and kind of lead in so you don't feel like, well, I mean, everyone had to wait a week back in the day.
Yeah, and I got
now they're doing it again.
This is weird. So BJ told me this about a week ago, and I had heard nothing about it.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it either.
And I talked to all of my friends. They had heard nothing about it. Every person I've told and showed the trailer to has loved it. But all of a sudden on Monday of this week, every Twitch ad, every ad on my computer and everything, it's like they waited till the last week to push it all at once to hype everything up. And I don't know if it's going to work for them, but I hope it does, because the production,
it's amazing.
The CGI, oh man, it looks great.
I'm just going to say maybe it was because you're talking about it. Now the robots know that you were talking about
possible.
It. Now they're giving you those ads because you showed a little bit of interest in it.
And the only reason I knew about it, Joe, is I watched Ted Lasso. So they were advertising on their own platform. But a lot of people don't really know a whole lot about Apple TV. But Ted Lasso has changed that.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
I saw a Monday Night Football ad with the foundation. That's why I'm really thinking, wow, okay, they're really pumping money into it now.
Yeah, Walking Dead this week had an ad in there for it as well. So, yeah, they, like Joe says, they're advertising this everywhere now. Because, I mean, Apple's got money, so I think it's cool that Joey and his friends saw the ad, saw the trailer, and said, I'm in, which makes me think, okay, then, once people see this trailer, they'll be like, wow, and maybe there's something to it that you weren't inundated, didn't know about it, and you were just like, whoa, what is this, and I must watch it.
And shout out to the second male lead, who is the star from Halt and Catch Fire, if you ever watched that series.
Yeah.
He was the like CEO drug addict who tried to make it big, and, well, depending on how you view it, he either succeeded or not.
I'm assuming he's the leader of the Galactic Empire, and Jared Harris is the guy that basically is giving him information and news he doesn't like.
Oh, I love it. The pairing
is
so good.
Good, that actor, yeah.
That's awesome. So, and actually, yeah, so that comes out, first two episodes today, and then weekly beyond that. But you did mention, BJ, The Walking Dead. Still keeping up on that one?
Yeah, I think Lee Pace is who you're talking about, Joe.
Oh, Ronan the Accuser from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, that's who he is. I couldn't, you know, I knew he looked familiar. Yeah, Lee Pace is amazing.
He's those actors that, like, he's sneakily in everything. Because I think he was also one of the elves in the new Hobbit trilogy, newer one, Thranduil, or whatever it was.
A good look pronouncing the elven names.
It's so weird to me because he plays such a different dynamic characters. Like, they're so, you know them from, like, it's a typecast, but they're two completely opposite typecasts, so I'm like, oh my god.
He was also on a show called Pushing Daisies. Do you guys remember that show?
Yeah.
It started him.
That's back in the day.
What was her name? Yeah, it's kind of like one of those, like, quirky, like, hey, he can bring people back to life when he touches them, but then if he touches them again, they're dead for good.
Oof.
And then he brings back, like, his girlfriend back to life or something, and he can't ever touch her again. Otherwise, she dies.
Yeah, that's not
well. Good. That's a problem.
So Pushing Daisies.
And BJ, you did mention The Walking Dead, and it's still continuing on. This is the final season. So
when are you going to get on board with this party? Is what I want to know.
When it's finally done and it's completely completed, I'll probably go back and finish the series.
It is so funny because you were the madman for this show.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you were crazy, and I was the one that had to jump on board because, like, all right, I better start watching this show because Rev is just raving. And this last season is really getting good. I think they put a bunch of different sort of bad guys in this last season that maybe they would have just concentrated on one season. But we've got a couple of really iconic characters from the comics that are in the same season, or at least, you know, we've got the Commonwealth, which people may know, and we've got Pope, which people may know. And, you know, they're different factions, and they're all in this season, and it's been really... It's been good, and there's only three episodes left, so maybe you can start binging it because you'll have to wait till February, so you'll have time to at least catch up if you want to, so you can watch them at least live for the last episodes of the whole series. I don't know. Will you do that? Can we get you to do that? Because I feel like I'm the only one watching live anymore.
I could probably see myself do that. I got to catch up with a lot of it. I'm still in the middle of the Whisperer War with my stuff, so... Having known, you know, the spoilers have been out there, I kind of know how that goes, too, but,
Well, then you might as well start watching this season and forget the Whisperers. I mean, if you know what the hell's going to happen. I feel like it's probably going to be epic in February because of the nostalgia.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that people have sort of forgotten, but I feel like you don't want to be the guy that's not... You don't want this spoiled for you, because I honestly believe... We're going to get Rick back. I don't think they're going to wait for a feature film. I think Rick is going to come back at the, you know, he has to. If he was ever going to come back to end the series, he has to come back in my mind.
And if they're going to end it any sort of way like the comic book series did, they kind of have to. I don't know if they're going to be doing that or not, obviously, because they've diverged from the comic plenty of times. But it was just like... It's like hearing about, Rick leaving and then just each of the other characters going away to do other, you know, the actors doing other projects. I was just it kind of took the wind out of the sails. But even having Maggie come back has seemed to be kind of like, it's piqued my interest at the very least.
And it's not the same Maggie, by the way. I think you'd be very interested to see, and Lauren Cohen, give her a great nod. She's not the same Maggie. It's scary to think that, I mean, she plays this so well. She's dead. I mean, she is literally dead inside, and is not. I mean, she is not the same Maggie. And her and Negan's stuff is so good together, and they spend a lot of time together in this season
You're bringing me back.
Oh, and Judith is an ass kicker. Oh my God! Somebody was giving Judith a hard time, and she pulled a sword on the kid. It was great. And also, that's why I believe Rick is coming back, because there's a lot of stuff where Judith is facing the fact that, like, you know, maybe her parents will never come back.
Oh.
And, you know, because Michonne went out to look for Rick. So that's why I'm like, how can they not finish this storyline if Michonne left and Rick left and Michonne went to go find Rick and Rick was captured by the garbage hipsters, you know, the heapsters, as Chris Hardwick used to call them. Rev, come back to us, brother. I'll give you this rest of the season not to be bothered, but you got to be with us in February. Come on, brother.
All right. Maybe I'll be spending my Christmas break with some Zambies. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah. And The Walking Dead's on AMC if you haven't for some reason ever watched the show. You've only got like 1,000 seasons to catch up on.
I know, gosh, right?
I've seen one episode, and I was tricked.
Yeah. Well, it's not a Vicky show.
No. Somebody who has seen a lot of episodes of a lot of different shows and wants to talk about those, video games, and even more is Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach. Thank you, BJ. And, let's talk some interesting geeky stuff with him right now.
Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That's SKNR.net. And it's spooky season, and that means, I know in the Pacific Northwest, we've got tons of corn mazes and usually those zombie shoot 'em ups. But the real big deal, and especially if you want to go do something fun, is hitting down to Southern California, because not only does Disneyland do some stuff, but a lot of the theme parks do some fun things.
Exactly. And the great thing about it is they've started rolling out the last few weeks. About a week and change ago, Universal Studios started theirs, and they do one, as you would guess, at their park in Hollywood, and then also in their park in Orlando. And they have everything from, in California, they have theme mazes. They have Jabberwockies do a show. There's a lot of entertainment roaming sectors. They have the tram tour is rethemed as the Terror Tram, and you have things like The Exorcist, and you have things like Halloween and other new mazes. And of course, being a film studio, you're going to get top of the line costumes, special effects, makeup, and, you know, scenery. This is not going to be like some of the community stuff where they go down to the local supply shop and do the best they can with the decoration. I remember a few years ago, I did not get to see this one, but I saw a video of it when they did the new Thing movie, which was the same title but a prequel to the original.
Yeah.
They had an Outpost 31 maze, and apparently there was an area where they had what people thought was an actor in a costume that all of a sudden split and was a hybrid with the animatronics, and like people were freaking out and running for the exit. I remember hearing stories about a mummy thing they did once where it looked like the room was filling with sand and beetles. People were freaking out. Last weekend, I got a chance to go to Knott's Scary Farm, and this was one of my absolute favorites, and haven't had a chance to go for a few years, and just had a really fantastic time. One of the things they do is during the day, there are children's events. Then they shut it down, and then they open up in the evening. And like some people, you might find this interesting. They have this thing called the buffet, where you pay a price, and you get like chicken, crab claws, everything like that. And you also get early entrance in. And like somebody had said, they were able to go through four of the eight mazes in the first hour before the public came in and really crowded things up. So to give you an idea, and this is definitely, I think, up your way of thinking, they put eight mazes into the park, eight haunted mazes. Various areas of the park are broken into scare zones. Like they had one that's the Goring 20s, so they were done up like flappers and black and white. They had one that was clowns. They had one that was different things like this. And there's this great video of Jenna tweaked her back, so I got her a mobility scooter to get around. And she's whipping around on this scooter, and they're coming out going, slow down, slow down. And so she's laughing and shrieking, and like, I went off, you know, right as they dropped the rope. They have a thing that you can get that definitely worth it, where you get to jump the line, basically. And you can do this not only for various rides, but for the mazes. So, like I tell people, I went through all eight mazes, did not have to wait more than 10, 15 minutes for any maze, and that was the newer ones. Most I just walked right up and went on.
Wow, nice.
Certainly beats 45 minutes of maze, I can tell you that.
Gosh, and, yeah, right?
Again, that we're talking here, very professional quality, special effects, lighting effects, moving segments, very advanced makeup and costuming and very professional actors. So it's a very immersive thing. You know, like part of it, you walk into the old West town, there's a lot of fog and smoke artificially created and things emerge. They have people with these slide plates on that slide along the ground and create sparks as they go. So one minute you're walking and then out of the fog, there's this like 10-foot thing right there in front of you. And for me, what really made it stand out was that some of these mazes were just beyond incredible. There was this new one called Mesmer, which was kind of like a circus magic show theme.
Ooh.
And you had like fancy lighting effects and moving segments. So you were walking along things, you come around the corner, and it looked like there was a pit that you were going to fall in. And it was actually a rope that you had to walk across, but there was plexiglass over it, so you were perfectly safe. But depending on how the lighting was and where you looked, one of my all-time favorites was called the Dark Ride, which was essentially like an old carnival ride, except you had to follow the track, and you could see the little carnival cars. Ooh. And everything. And so they had a lot of great things like that. There were 8 mazes in general. We have some video up as well. And they were all just incredibly themed. You'd go from one about the depths to one about paranormal. You had one which was like an alien outbreak on a spaceship, one in the Old West. Really incredible time. And it just reminded me of how well everything is done there and how much we miss that. And it was so funny, too, because there was a part of me going, yeah, I don't know. You know, I got my mask on and all of my vaccines, but and they were still being safe. There were sanitizers all over the place. You were encouraged to wear your mask when you went in the maze. And, they made it a very enjoyable experience. So it was fantastic.
Awesome.
And the only other thing, briefly, is SeaWorld kicked off one.
Oh, yeah.
Called Hollow Scream, and they had done this at some of their other parks. And we had the big reveal over the summer where we thought it was, a corporate event, and all of a sudden these clowns and other demons came out and did a song and dance number for us. This one was a little different. I would say it was more family themed, because while you can get a punch card, their punch card only allows you one line cut. So you can have like, there are 3 mazes, you can have 3 line cuts. So you can do one each, or you can, double up. The same thing with various rides. They had some of the roller coasters. They had Journey to Atlantis. Yeah, a lot of live shows, which was cool. They had this really wild circus act in music, a vampire circus. And so, the big difference, people say, well, what's the difference between the two? You didn't have as many mazes and activities, and I would say they were more, even though it was built for 13 and up, I'd say it was more of a community haunted house maze, and that it was fun. There was detail to it, but the other ones, there was this other level of intensity to it because they had been involved in it much longer. So it was kind of like SeaWorld went for the mentality of the other guys were really trying to scare you. Let's put it that way. They were just really going out of their way to scare you and to put on a really unique experience. Whereas I think SeaWorld tried to blend, let's make it fun and accessible, but we're going to do it in a more traditional setting in that here are the props, here are the decorations.
Yeah.
There's someone around the corner versus pulling the, we're going to throw a holographic thing right up in front of you and then have something slide out and come out. So it's 2 different styles, but definitely a lot of fun.
Right on. Perfect. It's always good to hear about all the different things you can do with all of that. Now, moving on from that, Disney Plus Day is a little ways away. It's not happening until December, but we still want to get a kind of an idea of what we're going to see.
Yeah, this was really an interesting thing. So Disney Plus Day, and we're kind of celebrating at this point, I believe, 2nd year of the service. And what Disney has done is they've decided to come out and make a very bold statement in that they've come out and said both Shang-Chi and the Jungle Cruise will be debuting on that. So if you don't want to pay to play, you don't want to go to the theaters, you can watch them. But then they go, oh, yeah, we're going to have Jeff Goldblum's new series.
Oh, yeah.
And while we're at it, we're going to have a new Simpsons short. We're going to have a new Pixar short from Luca. And they had all these little things. And then they go, oh, yeah. Just so we don't forget, we're going to be having a new Star Wars segment and a new Marvel segment. Now, we've been told that the Star Wars segment may indeed be Boba Fett related, possibly a teaser for the Book of Boba Fett, which I think is likely because that is supposed to start in December. The Marvel thing has got everyone going, well, what are we going to get here? Is this going to be Hawkeye, or is this going to be some of the stuff coming like She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel, or is it going to be something for the Eternals? Who knows? But they're rolling out a lot of stuff to keep people. And that's just some of what they have. So that's a really interesting thing that's definitely going to keep people paying attention, especially since they've already announced a sequel to the Jungle Cruise is already in the planning stages. And obviously, we're going to be seeing more of Shang-Chi and or the Rings somewhere down the line as well.
Absolutely. And then finally, some video game news. What's some of the updates from World War Z?
Okay, so we have a new World War Z Aftermath game. And this one is going to be a little tricky to describe because it's not a sequel, but it's not an add-on. So essentially, you install the game, which I did, and it doesn't say World War Z Aftermath or anything like that. It says World War Z. And you look at it and you go, okay, so here's some of the missions I've already done, so on and so forth. What they've done is while World War Z was updated to include new missions, this is essentially everything all together with a bunch of enhancements plus two new campaigns. There's a brand new Rome campaign. There's a brand new campaign set in frozen Russia. So essentially you have two new, these are not like single mission expansions. These are full multi-chapter. Well, there are two new chapters, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay, yeah.
There's also all kinds of enhancements to it. Like, for example, now you can drop from third person to first person mode if you choose to do so.
Ooh, that's actually very handy. I know that, I like to kind of switch back and forth depending, but even just sometimes I just enjoy the third person more or vice versa.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's a lot of other enhancements along the way. So, you know, one of the questions that people had said was, okay, well, if I already have World War Z,
do I need this?
why am I getting this versus, I know that the updates for World War Z were always free. Why am I getting this versus paying an amount for two new chapters? And essentially, it's kind of a reworking. They have it at a very affordable price. It's not $59.99, I can tell you that. And so essentially what they're saying is, we've taken the old game, we've added all these enhancements to it, plus two brand new chapters, at the same price you paid for the old game. So
yeah,
there you go.
It seems solid enough, especially if you enjoy the games, enjoy the genre. So obviously you vote with your wallet with that one.
Exactly. And, you know, and it was weird at first because when I knew this was coming, I had kind of said, all right, I'd played World War Z, all the expansions, all that. I did delete it and I had it on the Epic service. This one came for me on Steam. So I'm loading it up. I go to play it. And like I said, the menu looks similar. And there were all the, and I'm like, oh boy, I've already done these campaigns. Do they add new missions to the back of them? Or is there something, you know, it frame rates, that sort of thing. And then I was looking and I'm like, oh, here's some new multiplayer options and some new, and then you, there's a new Rome and there's two new chapters here. So, and of course, you know, all sorts of new gear. Let's put it this way. I hope this carries over to their pending Evil Dead game because I equipped it. Large chainsaw and went into the horde last night.
Of course you did. I love it. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us, and you can find out more information at Skewed and Reviewed. That is sknr.net, going across all sorts of things, more beyond what we just covered here. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, it's Friday, so I'm going to assume we've got movies. Okay.
I mean, the only movie on here that would be remotely of any interest or knowledge to any of us, because a lot of these are, I don't know what they are. Like, they're probably from other countries or, like, not even B movies, more like F movies.
Oh no.
Z movies. I don't know. But there is one I did see a trailer to recently. And as much as I'm not a big fan of like thrillers and everything like that, because it makes my heart go boom boom and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Is called The Guilty.
The Guilty, huh?
And as of now, it's got 73% on Tomato Meter. So it stars Jake Gyllenhaal, and this is actually pretty... It's thriller, drama, mystery kind of vibe, but it's set in present day. Jake Gyllenhaal's character is a 911 dispatch caller, and he gets a call, and someone's like, I need to talk to you or something. He's like, okay, I'm hanging up. It's like, no, and it turns out it's this person who secretly called 911 because they are in a dangerous situation, and he tries to keep her on the line and tries to contact police and all these other people to like help her, but they don't know where she is because she had to hang up. There's wildfires going on in California, so that makes it even harder. And it's just this whole like story of him getting invested and trying to help her. And it just gets real crazy in the trailer. So if you haven't seen the trailer, I definitely recommend watching it because it made me really want to watch this movie.
There are some short showtimes for like smaller theaters, but it's coming out on Netflix. So That's nice if you don't want to go out. You can just sit at home. And I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, like he said. Even Bill Burr's in it.
Yep, as a voice. So that's, you know what this kind of makes me feel like? It's going to be another one of those phone booth movies. Do you remember the one with Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
Colin Farrell, where it's like, yes, there are probably other locations, but I feel like a majority of this movie is going to be set with him at his, 911 dispatch desk, basically. Because I'm looking at even, like, we have Ethan Hawke in here, mm-hmm. Paul Dano. So if you don't know who Paul Dano is, he is the new Riddler in the new Batman movie that's coming out soon.
Oh.
But it all says voice. A lot of these, not everyone. That means it's probably all just going to be Jake Gyllenhaal.
Especially if it's a 911 operator sort of thing with that, yeah.
And the intensity in his voice in the trailer, I'm like, okay, if it's a... It's not enough for me to go see it in theaters, but definitely if it were to come out on an HBO or something like that, I'm definitely going to see it.
Yeah, perfect for that Netflix sort of thing like that. And I mean, Netflix movies are kind of varying quality as BJ can attest to with some of those. Yeah. So, at least the worst thing you'll lose is a couple of hours.
Although, I got very good news for you, BJ. I don't know if you knew this. Guess what happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday?
Season 3 of Doom Patrol came out on HBO Max. So if you're not wanting to go to the theaters.
Plans tonight.
Yep. Guess what you can do? You can hang out
plans
at home.
Plans tonight.
If you haven't seen it yet, definitely worth the binge. And we got some really cool actors coming into this season. And I'm very excited to see where they go with this. You two, homework. Watch it.
Fine, I will.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.